like for you to join us in singing hymn 180, Standing on the Promises. Hymn 180, Standing on the Promises, and then we'll have an opening word of prayer. If you're able to rise, if not, that's fine. But if you're able to rise, please join us in singing Standing on the Promises. Hymn 180.
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to congregate in your church as a church, Lord, and thank you for Jesus. And I pray that you would please bless the service now, that you would move our hearts to receive your word, and that we would apply it today and the rest of this week and for forever, I guess. Thank you, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Velasco. At this time, because she sang so beautifully, you may be seated on this next hymn, which is hymn 352. How are we even able to stand upon the promises of the Lord? Well, first of all, he had to touch us. Amen. He touched me. Hymn 352. He touched me. Hymn 352. He touched me.
By a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same.
He touched me.
He touched me, and all the joy
This evening? Amen. At this time, we'll have our pastor come forward.
Y'all glad to be here. Say amen.
Amen.
Good. All right. We got to get y'all spizzed up a little bit. Y'all spizzed up a little bit?
Three.
Spizzed? Y'all don't know what spizzed up is? You know, what's a good word for that? Yeah, energized. Thank you. There you go. I knew that was the word I was looking for. Well, get your bulletin. I had a bulletin, and I think I forgot to pick it up. Anybody have a bulletin? Oh, thank you, Brooke. Tomorrow morning, please do not forget that at 9:30 or 8:30 we start with the continental breakfast for the fellowship tomorrow. If we'd like for you to come, you're more welcome to come. And so that starts at 8:30, and then the worship service starts at 9:30. It'll be three preachers. We'll have some singing, and in between each one. And so and then after the service is over, we have a short business meeting, and then we'll go in here and eat. And so I want to encourage you all to come and be a part of that tomorrow morning, ready to go by 9:30. And then, of course, Saturday, please don't forget that we'll go out soul winning.
Amen.
And we're going to hang some more Easter hangers on doors. And if you put some out there, go ahead and pick up some more. They're in groups of about 25 in each one of those rubber bands. And we've probably got about 400 or 500 of those left and that we need to get done before Easter Sunday, so please help us put those out, and let's encourage folks to come and be a part of our Easter service coming up. That's just a week from Sunday, by the way.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all sure y'all are okay? All right, a week from Sunday. So please begin praying that the Lord help us have a good day that day. Don't forget also in your bulletin, it has ladies are the Monday night Bible study, March 25th, so please do not forget about that. Pray for the Blairs. I believe it was their nephew who passed away the other day, so they've gone to be with their family in that, so keep them in your prayers if you would, please. Also, continue to pray for Miss Erica. She's today, she's finished her, I think, second round of treatment, so continue to pray for her, as well as all of our folks that are on the prayer list, all right? Keep them in your prayers. We'll go over that again in just a moment. Pray for our air conditioner. They came this morning, and Brother, I appreciate Brother Jim and Brother Brandon Beecher. They came, and we took that thing apart up there and then lowered the bad part off of the side of the roof, and they took it today to have it looked at and measured and all those things so that they can try to find the parts for it. I don't know how long that'll take. I'm hoping at least we can hear something back maybe Monday that they're looking, but they've got to find the parts for it. And so just pray. We got a tarp around it. It's not open. We put everything back. So, but the tarp's around just try to help keep the rain out. So I think it's supposed to rain tomorrow, is it not? Okay, so pray that they don't blow the tarp off, all right, so that We can try to keep that thing together, but pray that the Lord will help us find the parts for that thing and get it going again. It's supposed to be cool this week, again cool again next week, and so just pray that everything goes well. The weather's cooperating. God's in that, so pray that everything will go well with that so we can get it put back together and get it on the roof before it gets hot, okay? If you have your need a prayer sheet, raise your hand. Anybody need a prayer sheet? John's been passing those out, I think. And so, again, pray for those that are on that sheet. Remember to pray for Miss Cora, Miss Malora's daughter. They're supposed to, I think, induce her this evening. So pray that everything goes well, quickly more than, you know, longer kind of thing. So, but we pray that it'll be done in the Lord's timing. But to keep her in your prayer. Also, continue to pray for Carly. She's coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks, so keep her in your prayer as well, all right? And there's some other new names that we've added on here for help. Brother Charles Smith, remember to pray for him. Continue also to pray for Brother Gary. Keep him in your prayers, if you will, please. And I know that they would certainly appreciate it. A special prayer for Jacques Alexander family. If you remember, they're our missionaries to Haiti. And if you've seen anything on the news, you know that the gangs are about to take over Haiti. And they, from what I understand, they've closed the American embassy there. But the Alexanders are here in the States. And they had come back to raise some support and for their orphanage and some things of that nature. And so while they were here, everything got bad. So I know that they're concerned about all of their folks and their kids over there. So please, keep them in your prayer as well. And I know that they would appreciate that. Also, one other thing about everybody that's brought paper goods for Homeless No More Baptist Church, they'll be here tomorrow. Brother Griffin's going to be here to preach tomorrow. I'm looking forward to hearing all three of these preachers. Keep them in your prayers, if you would, please. My brother Luther is going to be preaching, Brother Griffin, and then Brother Sutton from Countryside Baptist Church will also be preaching tomorrow. So pray for them. It's tough to preach to preachers.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, it's just hard to preach to preachers, you know. But they need to, you know, we need to get preached to as well. So pray for these preachers that the Lord give them liberty to come and preach tomorrow. And I know that they would appreciate that as well. So remember everything on your prayer sheet. If you're going to whitewater rafting, go ahead and start turning your money in for that. VBS is coming up in June, pretty quick. I talked to Brother Cato just a couple of days ago. They're excited already about VBS, so pray for them. We'll have a sign-up sheet for that here probably Sunday, so that if you're going, you'll put your name on there. But I want to encourage our young people to get their names on there first and go with us. It'd be a good trip for our youth and junior high and high school young people so that they can come be a part of that. I think they would enjoy it as well as being involved in teaching those other kids about the Lord. So pray for them about that, all right? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Are y'all are awful quiet?
No.
You got a good up-tempo song in a minute?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. All right, we're going to sing... If you're happy and you know, say amen or something like that, or I'm in the Lord's army or something amen. To get you rolling. So kind of get you spizzed up. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you, God, that you're on the throne of all things. God, I pray that you'd help us to allow you to be on the throne of our life. And God, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, in a special way. God, we need you tonight, Lord. And I pray that, God, that you'd help me and God, strengthen me, Lord, tonight, God, in a special way as I preach the message, Lord, as we continue through the life of King David. God, I pray that you'd help me to, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Empty me of me tonight in all things and whatsoever I do in word or deed. I pray it all be done to the glory of Almighty God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we mentioned some extra folks tonight on our about their health, Lord. We pray for them. Special prayer for Ms. Cora, Lord, as she's supposed to be induced tonight and give birth to for her baby. And I pray, God, that you'd keep her and baby healthy And, Lord, just watch over them. Be with the family, Lord. I know that they're anxious about the delivery of the new baby as well. So, Lord, be with them. I pray also, Lord, for Miss Erica, Lord, and Brother Gary tonight and their help. Father, Charles Smith, Lord, I lift him up in prayer as well. Pray, God, that you strengthen these, Lord, in their health. And God, just help them. And I know there's others, Lord, that are dealing with some health issues. And I pray, God, for them and pray that you'd raise them up, Lord. And God, that your hand would be upon them. I pray, Father, also for our soul winning Saturday. Lord, I pray that the weather will be good so we can go out and knock on some doors Saturday. So please, God, help us with that. And Lord, we give you praise. And then, Lord, we pray, God, also for the AC that, Lord, that they took apart today. And as they try to find parts, God, I pray that you'd lead them, Lord, to find the parts for this air conditioning unit on our sanctuary. And that, God, that they can find it quickly and it'll go back together with no problems whatsoever. And so, Lord, we need you and we need your help in this. God, this is yours. And God, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. And Lord, I was listening to the preacher the other day, and he about a young man that was praying, God, that you would give him some sandwiches or something like that to eat during the week. And Lord, the preacher reminded him, God, you don't own a sandwich shop. You own the cattle on a thousand hills. And Lord, it's okay to pray for something more. And so, Lord, we ask you about that according to your perfect will, that, God, that your hand will be upon us, Lord, as a church. And Lord, help us, God, and raise us up, Lord. And I pray for your blessings upon us, Lord, if you don't come back before Sunday, that, God, that you'd please, Lord, fill this place with people. And Lord, that you would please fill this place with the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, may we allow you to speak to our hearts. And so we thank you, Lord, in advance for that. We pray also for this offering. Pray, God, that you'd be with the gift and the giver. May everything that you use, Lord, help us to be good stewards of it. Use it for your honor and for your glory. And we'll give you praise and glory for it all, because it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask all these things. Amen. If you have an offering, you please come.
Now, if you're able to rise, we would love for you to join us in singing hymn 327. Hymn 327, Do You Know That You've Been Born Again? And at the conclusion of this hymn, we would invite you to please greet each other, especially our returning guests. Amen. Hymn 327, hymn 327, Do You Know That You've Been Born Again? And then sing along. Do you know that born again? Do you know that you've been born again? Does the Spirit dwell within, bearing witness that you've been cleansed from every sin and stain? Are you ready if the Lord should come? Or today your soul should claim? Can you face eternal years? Every sin and shame. Amen. Please greet each other at this time.
First Samuel chapter 31. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. No, I mean, if you're really glad you're saved, say amen. Amen. But you might, this sounds a little loud to me, can you? Can you turn me down just a little bit? I have a question for you while you're trying, or you're turning to First Samuel 31. Can you be saved? And, or can you be, is there a difference, maybe I should ask, is there a difference between being saved and being really saved? Huh? I don't think so. That's like saying, see this guy in this casket? He's dead. But see this guy over here? He is really dead. You know? So I guess if you're saved, you're saved. Amen? Amen. I thought so. I was just checking. 1 Samuel chapter 31, found your place, say amen. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled, and before the Philistines, and they fled before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him. And he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. And therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, pardon me, and his armor bearer and all these men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the side, the other side of the valley, and my mind said, and when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side of Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night, took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. I pray, Father God, tonight that you'd help me, Lord, to keep my thoughts on the message at hand. I pray, God, that you would speak through me. God, empty me of me, and I ask you, dear Holy Spirit, to please fill me, Lord, with you this evening, God, and help me to say those things that you would have me say, and leave off those things, Lord, that you don't want me to say, and God, but help me to keep my thoughts, Lord, on the Word of God tonight, Lord, and keep it in the context wherewith it's given, and I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, bless the reading of your Word, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever read an obituary? Was it exciting? No. In fact, there's nothing exciting about reading an obituary, where the words that we just read tell a sad story about the king of Israel, about Saul. Saul's life was a life that started out with promise and ended up with tragedy. And we can all agree with that and say amen, amen. But in some ways, and stay with me on this, I don't want you to run off and think that I'm teaching something different. But in some ways, we cannot hold Saul responsible for everything that happened to him. Now I'm giving you something to think about. Because if you remember, Saul came to be king because of a strange desire in the people of Israel. Y'all remember that? All right, we're gonna read that. I think I've got that written down. The people of Israel, they stopped listening to Samuel the prophet, and they saw themselves surrounded by violent pagans, and they insisted on having a king just like the other nations. In fact, God didn't want to do it, right? But the people demanded it. And I'll give you this. Turn over to 1 Samuel 8 in just a second. We're going to turn there. But in Psalm chapter 106 and verse 15, it says, God says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness in their soul. Listen, be careful what you wish for. Sometimes God will send it, give it to you, but he'll send leanness in your soul. When you get it, you may not want it. Amen. So if you found your place in 1 Samuel chapter 8, look in verse 19 and look in verse 20. It says, nevertheless, here it is, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. In other words, they said, God, we don't want to do it your way. We won't do it our way. You ever been there? Say, amen. A lot of people like that. And they said that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And so they wanted to be like every other nation. In fact, the Lord said later in Hosea chapter 13, verse 11, he says, I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. So Saul, when we again think about what I just said, he did not intend to be king. The job was kind of forced on him, if you will. But let me explain it this way. We can't hold him responsible for the wrong actions of other people. Are y'all still here? Say amen. But they wanted a king, and God gave them the desire of their hearts. Listen, but Saul was responsible for his actions. Saul is responsible. Listen, and just as you and I are responsible for our actions, we can do the best we can. We can follow the will of God. But what Malachi does in his life, I'm not responsible for the choices that he makes. I'm still here to tell him the truth. I'm still here to say, listen, this is the path I believe that the Scripture has me to tell you about. But whether you follow it or not, that is completely up to you. Amen. Whether when Brother Shelton says, okay, let's all stand and we're going to sing Standing on the Promises. Now, he can tell you what song we're going to sing. He can tell you what the hymn number is, that where to find it. But when it comes time to sing, you're going to make a choice whether to sing or not. Now, personally, I like that song, and I'm going to sing it. And when we sing, Do You Know That You've Been Born Again? Guess what? I like to sing that. Why? Because, yes, I know that I've been born again, and I want to tell people that I know. So we are responsible for the decisions that we make. But Saul, listen, he wasn't responsible for the wrong decisions that other people make. And so when Saul became king, he had a lot going for him. In fact, if you look in chapter 9 and look in verse 2, we're going to kind of work our way back toward chapter 31. But in 1 Samuel chapter 9, it tells us some things about Saul. He had some things going for him. It says, and he had a son whose name was Saul. Here it is, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Now, till it got to the higher than any other people, I was with him. Amen. Y'all feel the same way. Amen. I mean, Saul had a lot going for him. He gained his popularity with the people because he satisfied their desire for a king and what they thought a king ought to be like. I mean, they set their prerequisites out there, and they said, you know, this is what we want a king to look like. And God said, okay, here's a young man right here. Listen, they fit all of the, you know, checked all the boxes, physically speaking, that they were looking for. Look in chapter 10. Let's just keep going. I mean, he had charisma in his early days, and people were drawn to him. In chapter 10, verse 24, it says, and Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people? And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. You know, I wish God would write a lot more stuff in a book. It says, and he wrote it in a book, and Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. So we can see again, Saul gathered people around him who believed that God had set him apart to be the leader of Israel. The Lord had prepared Saul for the role of a king. Listen, God sometime again will give us the desires of our heart, but that's not, it may not be God's will for us to go that direction. Just like it was God's will for Samuel to still be the leader, but the people of Israel said, we don't want it this way. And if we as Christians aren't careful, we do the same thing. God will put us on a path. He will show us his will for our life, and we'll say, listen, you know, I'm not sure if I want to go that way. Listen, but I want you to understand something. Does God know best for us? Then if he says, I want you to do this, isn't it best that we go ahead and do that, even if we don't understand it? Isn't it best to let God be God in our life and for us to follow his will for us? Absolutely. But Saul watched. But the people of Israel didn't want to do that. Turn on over to chapter 11 and look in verse 6. God was... at one time, Saul had a close walk with God. In chapter 11, in verse 6, it says, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and in his anger was kindled greatly. But listen, God was using Saul, and Saul had a close relationship with him. But listen, but at the end of his life, Saul put more trust in human resources and in the power of a spear instead of putting his trust in Almighty God. Listen, all of us, if we do the same thing, come on, amen, we do that, we'll put our trust in our mental capacity or our physical strength, and we'll think that we can do it. But listen, I want you to understand, I want to put more trust in what God can do for me than what I can do for myself. Amen. But in spite of all the Lord had done for Saul, Saul started disobeying God, and it led to where we're coming to in chapter 31. Look over in chapter 13 now. Saul's path, going away from God, didn't take place all at once. And it never does, by the way. My path and your path, if we move away from God, it doesn't happen all at once. It happens a little bit at a time. Notice the first thing, God's prophet is disregarded. And if you look in verse 8, and we'll read up through verse 16 of chapter 13. It says, and he tarried 7 days. Saul, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Listen, I'm telling you, if somebody tells us something, and we need to make sure we're giving God the benefit of the doubt. And let me keep going. It says, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered a burnt offering. Understand now, he had no business being in there offering a burnt offering. The priests were supposed to do that. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, what happened? Isn't that the way God does? God waits on us to see if we're going to do something. Has your parents ever told you to do something, and then they leave the room, and all the time they walk out of the room, but they didn't go very far, and they stand in there and they just stand and watch you to see if you're going to do what they said. I've done that with my kids. I've done that with my grandkids. But I go back to when my dad told me, and listen, I'm, sometimes I just hung out. Are y'all still here? Yeah. And then in a minute, you know, if I'm not careful, I'm going to do something I have no business doing. You know, God told Samuel, you tell Saul to wait 7 days. Samuel's not doing this of his own accord. He's following the instructions of God himself. Amen. He's a prophet of God. And so Samuel says, listen, Saul, you wait 7 days and then you go in. But listen, but he waited 7 days. He said, well, I waited like you told me. No, but he still wasn't supposed to be in there. Amen. It didn't matter if it was 10 days. Saul still had no business being in the office of a priest and doing what only a priest ought to be doing. Amen. So he goes in and he offers the burnt offering, and then Samuel comes in. And Saul went out and says, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. You know why he went out to meet him? Because he knew he was in trouble. He knew that he had done something that he ought not be doing. He's trying to head him off at the pass, so to speak. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not. You know, Samuel, I waited, and this is not my fault. The people, they started acting around. They were scattered. They wasn't listening anymore. And you weren't here when you said. It's not my fault. You ever notice when we deflect things away from us, when it's somebody, you know, when we've done something wrong, it's like they ask us, politicians are really good at it. They are asked a direct question, and they never answer the question. You know what I'm talking about. Next thing I know, you may ask me about a specific subject, but next thing you know, I'm talking about, you know, something that's all way off out here in right field somewhere. That's exactly what Saul's doing. He said in verse 11, and Samuel said, what hast thou done? He said, well, I saw that the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. I mean, he's really laying it on. Therefore, because all this other stuff happened, the Philistines will come down now upon me in Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. He's really, offered this sacrifice, and he's offering us what he thinks is a really good reason for him to be disobedient. He says, so, you know, I didn't want to do it, Samuel, but I'm telling you, I forced myself. Man, I didn't really want to. I've waited all this time, but all these things were happening, all these circumstances, the people were doing this, and you weren't here, and the Philistines were out there, and you know, I just forced myself to do it. He did not. He said, I forced myself. Therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Man, what a grave mistake. Look in verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You think God's serious about being obedient? Absolutely. And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son, the people that were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. Listen, Saul had been told, had been told to wait 7 days for the prophet of Samuel to come and offer these sacrifices to the Lord, because it was a custom for them to do this before going to war. But Saul is impatient. You ever get impatient? When God says wait, do you ever get impatient? Oh, absolutely. Listen, when we are afraid, watch, Samuel got scared. He's watching the Philistines gather up over here, and he gets scared that they're going to march against him before Samuel got there. Listen, is God still in control in this situation? Does God not know that the Philistines are doing what they're doing? Absolutely. Does he know that Samuel's running a little behind? But maybe God fixed it to where Samuel's running a little behind just to test Saul and see if he's going to be obedient. You see, God's in control of everything. Listen, and as a result, Saul got scared when he saw all these things happening. And listen, there's always a tendency when we get scared to run ahead of God. Are y'all, amen. And as a result of Saul being scared of what's going on, he usurped his authority over God's authority. He acted in a way that completely, listen, it destroyed the dynasty that could have been his. So when Samuel got there, he just literally said, Saul, what have you done? I mean, he told him, he said, you've done foolishly. Remember, he said, thou hast not kept the commandment of God. He said, listen, God said do this, and you didn't disobey me. You disobeyed him. Can I tell you the same thing? Listen, when I preach, or whoever stands here and preaches up here, whether it's myself, Brother Marco, Brother Shelton, or someone else stands in this place, when they say something like, thus saith the Lord, and the folks that are sitting out here, they walk out and they're not obedient to God, you're not saying no to me. You're saying no to God. Boy, Saul got in trouble. As a result of Saul's disobedience, God took his kingdom away from him. I wonder sometimes in our disobedience what God takes from us. Yeah, so he's in trouble. And by doing it, Saul shows his spiritual insensitivity. Can I tell you that there are a lot of Christians today that are spiritually insensitive? Yeah. But the first sign of getting away from God, this wasn't the first time that Saul messed up. You know, the first time that he did something that God didn't want him to do, he should have fell on his face before God and got it right. Listen, any time we are disobedient to God, no matter how small we think it might be, we need to stop, consider the cost, and then get on our knees and repent before God and tell God that we're sorry. Why? Because, be careful, because it don't stop there if you don't repent. Yeah. Look in chapter 15 and verse 3. I mean, God's prophet is disregarded, and now we're going to see God's purposes are disobeyed. Chapter 15 look in verse 3. It says, now go. God says, smite Amalekite or Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. You know this story. And spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, ass. You know why God tells them to destroy these people? Because God knows that they will lead the Israelites away from him. There's a purpose for all this. And God doesn't want anything. Listen, God wanted Israel to be his spokesperson. He wanted them to be the people that brought the world, the gospel, and listen, and yet they refused it. Yeah. And so God says, Saul, go and destroy Amalek and everything else. And, of course, Saul, he disobeys a direct command. And by the way, Saul wasn't supposed to try to interpret what God said. You know, we do that sometimes. God says something, and then we try to interject what we think, you know, and, well, this is what I think. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, Saul was just supposed to do what God said. You know, being obedient to what God says is not that hard. As far as understanding what God said. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? Is it not? I mean, everything in here is pretty simple, really. Either we do it God's way or we do not, right? Amen. And so it's the same thing with Saul. He was supposed to destroy everything. But Saul, watch, he tries to interpret, you know, put his own spin on it. So he keeps the best sheep, the best oxen, the best lambs, and he destroys everything else. And then when the prophet Samuel comes in and Saul says, you know, well, Samuel, and I'm just paraphrasing, he comes in and he says, man, I did it. I destroyed everything. Man, it is all good. And then you know what happened in the background? You read the story. The sheep began to bleat. What meaneth the bleating of the sheep? Oh, well, and you continue to read down there, but I thought this was funny because this is the same thing. If you remember when we read back over in chapter 13, the first thing he said was, well, the people were scattered. Right? That's what he said, first thing. And now the first thing he says when Samuel catches him not doing what God said, if you notice what he says, well, the people. Here it is again. You know, listen, it's all your fault. Not my fault. That's what Saul's saying. He said the people spared the best sheep. But you know, he says, Samuel, but it's all good because they spared the best sheep. You know, God wants the very best. He wants us to. He wants the very best when we offer a sacrifice to Him. So, Samuel, it's okay. It's all good because we kept the best so that we can sacrifice them to God. Well, wait a minute. Did God say to keep the best? No. He said to destroy them. Listen, if you look in chapter 15, verse 22, you notice what he said, to obey is better than what? Yeah. In other words, just do what I say. Parents, have you ever told your kids that? Just do what I tell you. But why? Just do what I tell you. Do our kids, and I can think back, listen, when my dad told me to do something, or my mom, I never fully understand a lot of things they told me at that moment. I didn't see off in the future of why they told me to do this right here, but there was always a reason for them telling me to do it. And no matter how much I tried to interpret what they said, no matter how much I tried to read in what I think, if my dad told me to do something and I were to go to my mom and say, well, now, Mom, I really think Dad was telling me this. You know how far I would have got? To my bedroom. And Dad would have said, I'll be in there in a minute. He would have said, don't you ever, when I tell you to do something, go around me and try to talk to your mother. Amen. Well, listen, when God tells us to do something, it'd be good for us not to try to go around Him and talk to somebody else about something that He has already told us that He wants us to do. He just says, just do it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And by the way, putting a reason on disobedience doesn't make disobedience right. Yeah. Look in chapter 22. Saul just keeps getting worse. We're talking about his progression going away from God. Now let me go back and show you the first thing. First thing he did, God's prophets disregarded. Then God's purposes are disobeyed. And now God's priests are destroyed. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verses 18 and 19, you'll notice that Saul already tried to get somebody to kill the priest's army, and they wouldn't do it. And now here in 22 verses 18 and 19, he says, and the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned and fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob the city of priests smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and suckling, oxen and asses, sheep with the edge of the sword. Listen. When you start getting away from God and you sin, it always progresses. That's what's happening here. I mean, God, and remember, I told you there's always somebody around to do the devil's dirty work. Always. Saul was responsible. Listen, it was Saul that was responsible. Doeg might have wielded the sword, but it was Saul that told him to do it. Saul is responsible for the deaths of these 85 priests and an entire village of innocent people. And there's a lot of Christians today that'll be responsible for the spiritual deaths of a lot of innocent people. People that need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, do you know what the purpose of Central Park Baptist Church is? To tell people about Jesus Christ. That's our sole purpose. It's okay to do these other things that we do, but our sole purpose here is to reach people with the gospel. Amen. And here's Saul. He destroyed all these priests. Saul's action, watch, just like it's in, it carries him further and further away from God. Now look in chapter 28. I don't have time to go through all this, but in 1 Samuel 28, Saul sinks to an all-time low, and we talked a little bit about this last week, I believe it was, when he consulted with the witch of Endor. has he not really gone from just, you know, what we may think is a little thing? Now he has really lost it, and he's really fallen into the depths of sin. So he consults a witch. I don't know that you could get any farther down spiritually than leaning on a witch or resorting to satanic practices to try to find out something from God. Listen, we learned to do this in all these verses of Scripture last week, or I think 2 weeks ago perhaps, that God says to stay away from that stuff. Gird up the loins of your mind. I've told you this before, but there was a time when I was with my dad in Dumas. There was a big occult stuff going on. It was pretty rampant at that one time. And so the city started offering. I mean, they had painted upside down crosses on the doors of the church and all kinds of things like that. And so they started offering through the city some seminars about the occult and how to deal with it. And so I started going. It was about a month on every Saturday from like 9 to about 3. And so I started reading after it. I started studying stuff and researching. And after about 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit of God came to me and he said, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know why? Because I was spending more time going and learning about the occult and learning about what they could do and how, and listen, and all the time all I had to do was open the Word of God and see how to be defensive against the things of God, the occult. Listen, God said just to leave them alone. Gird up our mind. I was putting too much stuff in my mind and in my thoughts about the occult. Listen, that Satan would one day use it against me. So I stopped. And I got, and you know what? It sure helped. It helped my disposition a whole lot. And it'll help everybody. People have, "Well, preacher, I just read the horoscope on Saturday." You better stop it. Well, you know, if all the stars... No, wait a minute. I've had people say, "Are you a Leo or are you this?" And I say, "I don't have any idea. My name is Delbert White, and I'm a born-again child of God. I don't know if I'm a Leo." What is that? Well, Saul, he's checking in with the witch of Endor to try to draw up Samuel. And sure enough, God caught him. Amen. But here we go. Look in chapter 31. I got about 7 minutes. Here's, it all leads to Saul's death. In chapter 31, it's a tragic end, really, to Saul's life. I mean, and by the way, whatever God says it will come to pass, listen, it'll come to pass. Didn't God say heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away? Listen, God's words will endure forever. Amen. No matter what man tries to do to it, no matter what kind of a pen knife they take to the Word of God, listen, God's Word's been forever settled in heaven, yeah? And His Word will endure, and so it is with God's judgment. When God says that judgment's coming, yes, it'll come. One thing that I knew when I knew judgment was coming from my daddy, I didn't have to wonder if it was coming. I knew it was coming. If he told me that if it was on a Wednesday and he said, "Okay, I'm going to be out of town, but Friday when I get back, we're going to take care of this." Well, Thursday, I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, please help him forget. I know he's off preaching somewhere. I know he's really busy. God, if you'll really..." And he comes home, and you know what I'm doing? I'm going out to meet him, just like Saul did to Samuel. "Dad, how's it going? Did you have a good week? How was the revival?" And all that. And then he said, "Oh, it was good, son. The Lord was good. People got saved." And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, that's close. And then he says, "Okay, go back there in your room. I'll be there in a minute." You know, when he says judgment's going to come, it's coming. God's that way. I mean, when God gives a pronouncement, it's inevitable. It'll take place. And years before, I mean, before we ever come to 1 Samuel 31, God had pronounced judgment on Saul. Did he not pronounce you? Absolutely. And the day before this event, the day before this event that we read about here in chapter 31, listen, God even repeated his prediction. He even told him, he said, listen, he said, this is going to happen. In fact, hours, if you think about it, really hours before Saul had consulted with the witch of Endor, remember, the Philistines, watch, had already invaded Israel. They've already been there with this massive army. And the Philistine army is there for one purpose, and that's to kill Saul and put an end to his dynasty because of all of the trouble that Saul had caused the Philistines for the past 40 years. Acts 13, verse 21. And so they're all gathering, this massive army of Philistines, and Saul is watching that. Listen, and Saul is stricken with fear because he knows why they are there. But I think he's even more fearful because he knows what God has told him. I mean, Saul's troops didn't stand a chance against the massive army. Listen, and especially without God's help. I was talking to Brother Marco today, and we were talking about how wily that Satan is and how much he wants to destroy you and me. Amen. And listen, and I was thinking, and I said to Brother Marco, you know, come, think about this. If Satan can go to a perfect environment, like the Garden of Eden, and talk to two people that had no clue what sin was. Listen, they were created perfect. Adam and Eve. They walked with God every single morning in the flesh and talked to Him and communed with Him. And if what makes us think that if Satan can turn them away from the path and the will of Almighty God, then what makes us think that we have a chance against Him? We are living now in a fallen world. We have a fallen nature. We have no chance whatsoever against Him without the help of Almighty God. None whatsoever. Saul, listen, he's there, and he's there without the help of God. And we stand no chance against Satan as well. And so Saul, watch, he's there watching this army, and he witnesses his soldiers being slaughtered on Mount Gilboa. Watch, they closed in on Saul, and Saul was, and his sons were killed with the archers. And folks, listen, he witnessed all of this taking place. And before Saul's eyes, his three sons are killed, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Melchishua. And in the midst of the battle, listen, Saul himself, he's critically wounded. And knowing that he's going to die, he says, listen, he tells his armor bearer, he says, listen, I want you to take your sword and kill me because I don't want to be captured and tortured and mutilated. Listen, which was a custom in those days by the other armies, and his armor bearer said, listen, I'm not going to do it. So Saul took out his sword and committed suicide. And Saul's armor bearer, he did the same thing when he saw Saul die. Saul lived just like he died, or died just like he lived, a proud and jealous and a terror to himself and everybody around him kind of guy. 1 Samuel 26:21. If you turn back, it's an epitaph, in fact, a fitting epitaph to Saul's life. 26, and look in verse 21. It says, Then said Saul, I've sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, here it is. I've played the fool and have erred exceedingly. You know, listen, Samuel's prediction was fulfilled right this day. In the hand of God's judgment had fallen on Saul. Saul's dynasty and his kingdom had collapsed. And the result of Israel's defeat and Saul's death was that, watch, Israel, the Israelites of the northern Israel, they abandoned their cities. You read that. They fled off to remote areas. They became refugees, and the Philistines came into the cities right behind them, and they took residence right up where the Israelites left off. And exactly what happened, as Saul said, it says, he played the fool. I looked that up, and I thought that's an interesting statement. And to play the fool means this. to claim things for God that God has not commanded us to do. And it means to disobey God, even in small matters. That's what it means to play the fool. Listen, Saul made that a practice in his life. A person plays the fool when they disobey, when they try to cover up disobedience, and then persuade themselves that it's really God's will all along. That's exactly what Saul did. Saul played the fool, and his life ended in despair. Now, in the midst of this materialistic culture, we got to be careful because we can do the same thing. In the culture that we live in, let me ask you these questions. Where do we find meaning? When God calls us, do we obey Him? When God calls us, what do we do? Do we act immediately? Because our walk with God is determined by the choices we make. You say, well, preacher, what do? Well, three things. I'm just going to read these real quick to remember. One, recognize you're moving away from God and get it right. Saul didn't do that, and it cost him. Number two, don't let pride keep you from getting right. You know, our pride sometimes sure gets in our way of getting right. And number three, to obey is better than sacrifice. Yeah. Putting a reason on disobedience, remember, doesn't make it right. And we live in a day where that we like to put a reason on why we don't do what God wants us to do. Well, preacher, I can't do this because don't make it right. Well, preacher, no reason is good enough when it's in disobedience to God, period. So if we're wrong, God help us to be like David. Keep a short account with God. Just get right. I'm glad. 1 John 1:9 says, confess your... Oh, my mind sit down. Yeah, if we confess our sin, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But do it right then. Don't wait. Father, help us. God, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, Saul, what a good, bad example, Lord, if You will. God, I pray that we, Your people, will keep short accounts with You. Help us, God, to be obedient to You in all things. God, I pray that Your hand will be upon us. Lord, bless this time of invitation, Lord. Speak to our hearts, and may we do business with You, and we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and if the Lord's speaking to your heart, I want to encourage you to come.